97.1 FM Talk. On demand audio.
Welcome back to Second Amendment Radio and the Great Outdoors. Mark Cox in here along with Bo Matthews and Carl Middleman.
Hello.
And we are talking about something. Bo asked me in the break, have you ever experienced one of these war reenactments before? And I said, about 20 years ago. And all I remember is that it was 100 degrees outside, and the guys and gals taking part in it were in costume for the period, with the heavy wool, and I mean, it was, I couldn't believe that they were not passing out from the heat. It was so hot. But you have an opportunity coming up at Jefferson Barracks next weekend, and it should just be awesome. We got Thomas Hoff with us right now, cultural site manager for St. Louis County Parks at Jefferson Barracks, to talk more about bitter conflicts at Jefferson Historic Sites taking place next Saturday. Thomas, welcome in.
Thank you. Happy to be here.
Yeah, it's good to have you in. So before we get into the details of the actual event, the people who participate in these things truly have a commitment to reenact history, don't they?
Oh, absolutely. I've been in the reenacting community since 1984, and you'll find some amazingly qualified people working. I hesitate to use the word amateur historians, because for a lot of reenactors, their research and reference skills are outstanding and on par with people who are working in academia.
Wow.
It is absolutely respectable that they do this, because, you know, every time we turn around, history is, being squashed here and there. And, when it comes down to the vehicles, the uniforms, as Mark mentioned, the weapons, it is so... it's so precise. And I've been to some gun shows, some historic gun shows, for just shows, not sale. And the artifacts that are from these wars are still here. And it's a great way to teach your family. And this is the reason we're having you on, Thomas, is because the show is Second Amendment Radio and the Great Outdoors. This is just another opportunity to get outdoors. Now, I'd like to start with, Thomas, the name of this event is called Bitter Conflicts. Can you explain the origin of the name?
It's almost kind of a play on words. What we had kicked around doing was having an event that would be a little bit different from our usual living history events here, make it a little bit more adult-orientated, maybe try to bring in some of the local microbreweries and expand what we were doing. So we were originally thinking of things like, beers, battles, and barracks, things along those lines. But since bitter is a beer style, and bitter also refers to, bitter conflict, we thought we'd kind of punt it up a little bit with the name and make it Bitter Conflicts.
I got it. Wow. So can we assume then that Is it period related? I mean, is it Civil War, or is it more conflicts?
What we're actually doing is we're doing a timeline of the American soldier, and there will be reenactors here giving a look into the American Revolution all the way up through the Vietnam War.
That's cool.
So when people are showing up, it's a free event, by the way, for your whole family or your friends, you want to come out. But when people are there, what are they going to be doing? Are they just going to be standing on the sidelines and watching, like battles, or how? What are people, should they expect to, when they come out?
Well, we're not going to be doing any battles this year at this event. There will be some demonstration of how weapon systems work. And other equipment that was used by the soldiers would work. Our big battle is usually, we do that at World War II weekend, which was last weekend. What they'll be here is a line of encampments for each different period. You can see how the soldiers lived, what they fought with, what equipment they had, how food was served, what sort of food, things along these lines. At each site. and you'll be able to walk along, starting from the American Revolution, going into the War of 1812 and the Mexican-American War, and so on and so on, and get an insight into what the American soldiers have done.
Wow. Thomas Hoff is our guest, cultural site manager, St. Louis County Parks at Jefferson Barracks. And, you know, I made a little reference to this off the top, the people that I was thinking about 20 years ago when I met them. The weather is still pretty good in the spring, but if you're dressing true to form for a lot of these uniforms, they were heavy, wool, hot, even right down to the undergarments, correct?
Oh, yeah. Absolutely. I mean, there are advantages to using wool for the construction of military uniforms. It holds up better than, say, cotton. And it breathes well if it needs to. Wool trousers can actually be more comfortable than a pair of blue jeans on a hot August day, because you'll get better airflow than you would with blue jeans with the tight weave and material. So it still gets hot. I'm not denying that point at all. But there were a lot of reasons why militaries were using wool as the basis for their uniforms until later changes to different fabrics. So, yeah, it's going to be a little warm for some of our reenactors, but I'm sure they're all going to survive well.
Thomas, I have to ask, did you serve in the military yourself?
I was in ROTC in college, and then I took a leave when I was 21 years old to become a police officer, and then I went back to school after that and finished up, but did not go back into ROTC.
Well, you know what? I'll thank you for your service to your community as well. When it comes to the accuracy of what people are going to see out there, do your reenactors make sure they keep people on point, like, hey, that's out of place, that pin shouldn't be there, it should be over there, anything like that, as far as, you know, keeping track with the authenticity of it?
Oh, absolutely. One of the things we're doing with the reenactment units that we have here, it's not a free-for-all where we've invited everybody. We have curated what units we want to be here, and that is based on their professionalism, their sticking to authenticity, their ability to communicate with the public. We've got a whole series of criteria. One of the things I learned years ago from the National Park Service was the importance of vetting who you have doing living history. And the NPS was very good at only collecting a few select units to use for War of 1812 events, is, you know, effectively their camera company, and to steal a term from the film industry. And we're trying to do the same thing here. The people we have here are the best people we could find for it.
Well, I mean, I think that's great. To tell folks where they can go online, what's the website to find out more details? Because it's next Saturday, the 20th.
Right. Well, right now, if you go to our big presence, what we really tend to use is Facebook.
Okay.
And if you go to the St. Louis County Parks page, there'll be information there. There'll also be information on the page for Jefferson Barracks Historic Site. And everything should be on those pages that you would need to know. And we're, all right, for those of you who aren't accessing the internet, if you set your GPS for 345 North Road in LeMay or St. Louis, that's going to take you right to the site we're using for the timeline.
Again, we want to mention that this is an event that is free. In your experience, you said you've been around the reenacting community for a long time. Do you find any, like, healing for former military or family of former military when they come out and see these things?
Yeah, actually, I do. I think for a lot of people, they'll come out and they'll see stuff that they can personally relate to, and it gives them a good sense of being. One of the things we did doctrinally with the museum here is we used to only go to 1946, and now we go up to the present. And I have found that, like, veterans of Desert Storm and conflicts like that really appreciate seeing their material in the museum. When we ran our first Vietnam Living History Weekend, four or five years ago now, we had a lot of Vietnam vets that were out, and they truly appreciated the fact that there was a younger generation that was fascinated with what they were doing, what they had done, and were trying to replicate it. And I think they got a good sense of satisfaction out of that. And I know it gives people an opportunity to sometimes to bring their grandchildren out and say, you know, this is what I did. You can see what I lived with. And they find that, you know, to be constructive as well.
Yeah, it's a very cool experience for people that haven't done it. I hope they check it out next Saturday, May 20th, down at the historical site there, Jefferson Barracks. Thomas Hoff, thank you for your time.
Oh, you're welcome. Thank you very much. Thanks for thinking of us and including us in this program.
Absolutely. Good to get him on here.
Absolutely.
Oh, I appreciate it. Thank you. Like I said, thanks for thinking of us and including us. And if there's ever anything we can do for you guys in the future, let us know. I mean, if Mark needs some historical research done for something or a story, you know, we're here.
Excellent.
That's great.
Thank you. If you haven't been down there, if you got kids that are, into Call of Duty or something like that, I mean, there's going to be something there for a lot of people, right?
Gosh, that's a good question. Are there like video games or PlayStation or whatever that does the reenacting?
You're reenacting it by playing it in many cases. I've seen ones for the Old West. I would assume they have.
Ooh.
I would assume they have them for different conflicts as well. But that's not my area of expertise for sure. My son played Call of Duty for a while. He tried to give me the controller one time to let me play against him, and I would end up walking in circles, and he'd just shoot me. So it was worth it.
Hitting the A button doesn't feel like pulling a trigger, does
no,
it?
No, it doesn't. Not at all. I could not shoot and walk at the same time, for sure.
Well, dang. We got we got next weekend booked up for you guys. Friday, the shooting sporting clay shoot event for the Eureka Chamber of Commerce. And Saturday, get you out to Jefferson Barracks. Wow, that sounds like a complete weekend. You can sleep on Sunday.
Got it. Yeah, save Sunday for the sleep. It ought to be fantastic. All right. That'll do it for this edition of Second Amendment Radio of the Great Outdoors. Have a great weekend.
See you, boys.
Get more at 971talk.com.